This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Some of the words that the Quran uses for those who can discern signs or who can understand signs. And one of the fundamental points that the Quran makes is that there are two types of people. There are people who reflect on the signs, and then there are people who ignore the signs, and they ignore the signs to their own detriment. And the Quran also gives us a clear picture of the results that happen from people that ignore the signs. And those signs relate to both effects in this world and then also effects in the next world. So for instance, the Quran gives a lot of signs of what happens to societies when they're irreligious and begin to deviate from the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. Constantly the Quran is saying, travel in the land and look at the people that went before you. Look at how they built. They were more powerful than you were. They built better buildings than you built. And yet they came to naught because ultimately they began to disbelieve in the signs of Allah. And the analogy that the Quran strikes is of the city, ضَرَبَ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً. Allah strikes the similitude of a city or the likeness of a city. كَانَتْ آمِنَا. It was safe, مُطْمَئِنَّ, content. And then its provision would come from all over. And this was really to the Meccan people, reminding the Meccan people. And then the Quran says that فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They began to deny the bounties of Allah. In other words, they forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the mun'im. And that's what happens when you ignore the source of blessing and begin to see yourself or your society as being the providers of whatever you've done. There's people that see their work as being the reason that they're getting something out. So the Quran uses certain words in relation to these two signs. The signs being out there and in ourselves, those are the natural signs, and then the signs of the revelation. The Quran uses the word aqala, afala ta'qilun, which means don't you use your intellects. So the aql, which is the component that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man, is there to be able to comprehend. So the idea of using your aql, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He gave you sam' wal basar wal fu'ad. He gave you hearing, sight, and a heart. And the ulama say that the reason that these three are mentioned together is because mawaradul ilm, the ways in which knowledge comes in to you, are through your sight and sound. And there are signs in themselves, but it's through the sight and the sound. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are signs, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبَصِرُونَ. Don't you see them? In Surah Al-Mulk, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people in hell say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ, had we only listened. And you'll see these two attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave them sight, سَمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ, in order that they show gratitude. So the idea of showing gratitude through these capacities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to perceive these. So the aql is rooted in the fu'ad. That's the Quranic view. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they can't perceive with their hearts. The second, the idea of understanding, al-fahm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the human being the ability to use the intellect to understand meanings. And so you have fahm, and also you have fiqh in the Quran, which is the faqih in old Arabic was the one who could discern a pregnant animal in the midst of a herd. It was the one that could see something that was not apparent to others. And so the faqih has a perception that other people don't have. And when the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him understanding of the deen. Even though it's come to mean jurisprudence, it really doesn't mean it in that hadith. In that hadith, it means that they're able to comprehend the purpose of the deen. And obviously, the usuli, the real faqih, not the one that knows the ahkam, but the one who knows how to apply Islam in the world, irrespective of the circumstances. That is the real faqih. And then also tafakkara. Fakkara is a negative word in the Quran. It's only used once with Al-Walid ibn Mughira, fakkara wa qaddara. But tafakkara, which has to do with struggling with thought, in other words, attempting to understand, fakkara is really to produce thought, whereas tafakkara is to attempt to understand. And Al-Walid ibn Mughira was somebody who, he was thinking about what he could say about the Quran. Is it magic? Is it this? Is it that? And so the tafakkur is reflection. It's the idea of something enters into you and then you begin to attempt to understand what that means. That is what tafakkur is. Whereas fakkara is coming out of you, projecting onto something else. It actually has kind of the opposite meaning. It's you projecting onto something else. Whereas tafakkur is you allowing something to stimulate in you a desire to understand it at its real level. And then also you have tadhakkara, which is recollection, which is a very important concept in the Quran, because there's an idea in the Quran that human beings really do have an understanding of what this is all about in the innermost. And there's a type of forgetfulness, a ghafla, a heedlessness that's come over human beings because they've come into the world. And so the Quran gives this idea that this is a dhikr. It's actually a reminder of something you already know. وَذِكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind them, because reminders benefit believers. You can only be reminded of something you already know. And so there is this understanding that all of these things that we're being taught, we actually already know them. And so it becomes a recollection that we're really recollecting something that the human being has already perceived. And then tawassama is another one, which is, wasama is a sign as well. And tawassama is to perceive the meaning of a sign. And again, this is the mutawassim was somebody who could see from the face of a person whether they were good or bad. I mean, that was the jahili understanding of a mutawassim. It was somebody that could see what was hidden behind the apparent. And that, again, if you look at all of these words and these ideas, they're all revolving around this same idea, that the world is signs. And what human beings are is they are interpreters of signs. And Allah has given human beings what is called in the Quran lub, what's called qalb, what's called fu'ad, what's called aql. There's all these different words that are nuances of the same meaning. And lub, because the Quran says this is the ulil albab, that people that have lub. The word lub, if you look at its root meaning, it's a seed. And again, the idea, it's pith. It's something, obviously, that, you know, when you say pithy, it's deep, because the seed is buried in the center of something. So these people are people that in their center is something that contains the whole thing. In other words, the lub is like the seed of a tree. The entire tree is contained in the seed. In the same way, in the human being, there's something at the essence of the human being that contains this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the universe. And then in terms of the ayahs, there are different types of ayahs. There are ayahs of ni'mah, so there are signs of Allah's blessing, good health, al-afiyah, is a sign of Allah's blessing. It's a ni'mah. And wealth. All of these type things are signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you blessings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that true wealth is contentment. So somebody who does not desire is really the wealthy person. So if somebody has a great deal of wealth and yet they're still filled with desire and trying to acquire more and more, then they're not wealthy according to our understanding. And then rahmah is mercy. And there's a belief that at the root of this entire universe is mercy. Ar-Rahman is really the essential attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to His creation. And at the essence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's being is rahmah,
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we only sent you as a mercy to all of the worlds. So there are all of these signs in the world that are signs of His mercy. And Ibn Abbas said, when you reach a certain level of perception, everything becomes mercy. In other words, you don't see anything other than mercy, because even in the punishments that Allah inflicts on human beings, they're much less than what we deserve. And in that is a mercy. So you begin to actually see that Allah is a merciful Lord, that at the root of His tribulations in the world is actually mercy more than anything else. And then also there is tabshir, which is this idea of Allah giving bushra. If you do this, then this happens. If they believe, Allah will give them rain, He will increase their crops, all of these things. There's tabshir in the Quran. So there are signs of tabshir. On the other hand, there's signs of intiqam, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yintaqim, He takes vengeance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will avenge His people. So if there are righteous people that are persecuted for their righteousness, then there's a belief that Allah is a personal God, in that He will actually take vengeance upon those who oppress and persecute. So that's a warning. These become warnings. And again, these are signs as well. Even though it's very difficult for you to discern, it's not really permissible in Sharia to look at something and not say that's because he did this, this, and this. But it's something that, according to the Quran, is a possibility that should be considered. So whenever anything happens to people that is terrible, they should always consider the possibility that this is from their own hands, that it's what their own hands have wrought. And that's a very important idea in the Quran. Iqab comes from a word, aqiba, which is what comes after. So the iqab is a punishment, but it's the idea of the punishment is a result of prior actions. And so you don't see the punishment as simply arbitrary tyranny, that it's just there's something cruel here. No, you see the punishment as a direct result. And therefore, what Allah says in the Quran again and again is that He does not oppress His servants.